I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. This, I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. And this is a special show today because we have been to an amazing conference this week. And JC is actually going to take the lead here in just a second so that he can interview a very important person with this very important event. And I'm telling you, you need to know about this event. You need to put this event on your calendar next year. You need to support these people all year round. People contact me all the time and say, Chris Ann, we want to support places. Help us support liberty-minded ministries. This is a ministry that is geared towards education in the most fundamental and the most important ways. And so what I'm going to do, say hello, JC.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
So I am going to turn the lead mic over to JC.
Yes, great.
And then we're going to, he's going to conduct this interview. He's going to actually run the rest of the show for us. So I think so. he'll do just fine. So I want to thank you guys for being a part of the Chris Ann Hall Show and being a part of this ministry and giving us the opportunity to bring to you like-minded, liberty-loving people.
Thank you, Chris Ann. Appreciate that. We're here at the CUER National Policy Summit in Washington, D.C., and I'm here with, I'm just going to go ahead and say my good friend, Derek McCoy. Can I say that already?
I feel like
we're family now, and this has been an amazing event. I want you to tell, I could keep talking and talking and talking, just what we've seen, what we've heard, and the unbelievable people. I mean, powerful people, competent, knowledgeable, and so much action. The thing that I heard in this conference, you know, we have in this audience, you know, are after liberty and limited government, and, you know, you always have those questions, what do we do? And how do we do it? And I heard so much action. And I know there's a particular focus of the organization, but same ends, you know, in that sense of limited government and promoting liberty and really impacting people's lives. So tell us a little bit about the organization, you know, who you are, the purpose, and then a little bit about the event that we've experienced.
Sure, no problem. That's exciting, man. I'm glad to be with you and glad to be talking about some of these things. One of the things you just said, hey, can we consider ourselves family? Well, we spent a weekend ago, you know, a few days together now.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, and I'll say this and I'll go back to who we are, is I had a guy from Chicago come to me just last night. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And he'd been here with us. And this is the first time he's ever here. And he said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know, he said, I'm a pastor. I've been in this city for a long time. I've been trying to figure these things out. He says, I've been thinking about a lot of stuff you're talking about, and I knew there had to be other people that thought like this, but he said, I felt like Charlie Brown. I felt like the lonely guy out there that I didn't really have a lot of association. I didn't really have, didn't know where I fit. And he says, go to one group, didn't fit. Go to another, didn't fit. He was trying to figure it out. He says, but man, I need to tell you. And he looked me in my eye, And he says, I feel like I found home. I feel like I found family.
Right.
And he says, I don't feel like I'm Charlie Brown anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
There's other people like-minded with me. So that got me stirred, of course.
Absolutely.
That brought me.
I want to come back to that.
All right, no problem. But that was one of those things that got me going and really looking at, you know, what CURE is about. I mean, it drove the nail home. It helped me understand that, wow, we're talking about our mission is fighting freedom and fighting poverty and restoring dignity through faith, freedom, and personal responsibility.
Amen.
Excuse me for my little slowness because it's been 3 days. We've been rolling.
I hear you.
But the interesting thing,
with little sleep.
There you go. But that's really the core of who we are. But it really says, so what is that about? What does that mean? Well, you know, as my man said earlier, billion dollars are spent, almost $1 trillion is spent on government programs, and those government programs, very little returns back to the people that are actually needing it. And really, when you start thinking about that, we said, we got to fight this poverty issue. We can't have people stay on Uncle Sam's plantation, keep working it out, and do stuff that and be in a place where they are subservient to government and never find freedom and responsibility on their own. But really, you know, just like me, when people get jobs, people start getting their own and owning things and understanding, wow, this is where I really get liberty from, they get a sense of dignity about
right,
them.
Yeah.
And so it begins to move them forward. And you do so well, and your wife does so well in terms of talking about that history and what people did and the accomplishments that they had for years. Yeah. And we got to be in this day and time doing the same thing. But we do that in three different buckets of CURE. We have a policy program where we feel like changing laws to change lives. We right. have to work on changing laws and policy.
Amen.
So that people's lives can be changed. And I learned that, a while ago when I was functioning as a president of a policy council group. And when I did that, I learned that in a 90-day session of a state session that they had, these elected representatives are facing somewhere nearing 4,000 pieces of legislation, proposed legislation, in 90 days.
Wow.
And there was a system that went on that said, wow, 4,000 pieces of legislation, on average they were passing somewhere between 1,500 to close to 2,000 pieces every single session, every
That's
year,
insane.
90 days. Now, they didn't read all of those pieces. They didn't understand them. But the lieutenant governor of that state told me, he says, Derek, we win when you sleep.
Yeah.
We win when you sleep, meaning if you sleep at the wheel, we can pass anything.
Yeah,
we
you
want.
Don't know what we're doing.
Exactly. And so that's one of those
things.
Well,
they
pieces.
Say democracy dies in the dark. I think
there you go.
I heard that's, I mean, we're not exactly a democracy, but little d. So.
Right. And the other thing that is so important is the policy side. We have a media side component where we feel like, you know, guess what? We need to address issues of race, poverty, and culture from a Judeo-Christian perspective. Who's out there talking about these issues
right.
and being in the public square? Our voice of citizenship does not end when we, you know, come out of our church and enter into the public square. So we want to be able to have that voice.
And I want to say this because, you know, you said from a Judeo-Christian
yes, sir.
Point of view, Judeo-Christian values, you know, you get this opposition from the left and also from some of my libertarian brethren. We're not saying forcing people to be Christians through the power of the state. We're talking about implementing policies and taking actions based on Judeo-Christian principles, which line up with the principles of liberty, which are, in fact, I believe, the source of liberty. So
absolutely.
That kind of thing scares some people. You start saying that.
Yeah, you know, and I get that, and I understand. And sometimes that's a big chunky word. So let's do this. Let's take that word out completely.
Yeah.
Just
I'm in agreement with you myself.
Right, but if you think about it like this, and this is why I often talk to people, I say, just addressing principles of, you know, race, poverty, and culture.
Yeah.
Okay, good. If I start talking about it, you start talking about it, where do we get our value system from? Where do we get our perspective from? Where do I have the right to say what's right, what's wrong, what's law, what's not, what's going on in our society, what should be there, what shouldn't be there? Guess what? I maybe don't, and I maybe do.
Yeah.
But I'm a citizen in the United States.
Exactly.
And guess what? I got people in my yard, maybe, or in my backyard saying, hey, why don't you run for office? Because we need somebody just helping us voice an opinion. Well, if I run for office, I get elected. Where does my perspective come from?
Yeah.
Where does my thought process come from? And the value system we've been taught throughout our life, good, bad, or ugly, really is a system that we begin to implement. And what we're saying is there was a system that was put in place years ago that we should be following. And that's the beauty of America, because the U.S. our Constitution is the most awesome Constitution in the world.
Absolutely.
It's been in place. It's they're not tweaking and messing with it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a stabilizing factor for us to look at and say, hey, that's what makes America different on so many levels. Other countries, they go by and they change it and tweak it and keep messing with it. Well, what happens is they say, well, that's modern, progressive, trying to be up to date. No. Some things, if we have a litmus test and a line and a measuring stick to know left, right, how big is this room? How many feet is it? We got to tape measure, whatever that may be the case. That's our litmus test. That's our measuring stick to say, this is how we kind of guide ourselves.
Right.
And so,
that's kind
anyway.
It reminds me what we heard, Bob McEwen refer to.
Right, right.
Jefferson saying these are self-evident truths. So these are axiomatic truths. We know where they come from.
Absolutely.
We know what they're based on. But then even if you say, I'm not a Christian. Well, nevertheless, you can look at history. These principles that line up with what we're talking about have been time-tested axiomatic truths that have proven themselves over 1,000 years. And that's what our founding documents are based in. I believe those events and those principles are manifestation of divine realities, right? But we know what works.
Yeah.
We've seen what works. And we don't need to get around and tinker with it and change it all the time based on the whim of the majority or some bully or the powerful or whatever. So, I appreciate you guys fighting for those principles. I don't know if we said this. What does CURE stand for?
Oh, Center for Urban Renewal and Education. Thank
okay.
you for that.
And there's a Center website.
Center for Urban Renewal and Education. It's urbancure.org.
U-R-B-A-N-C-U-R-E.org. Okay, urbancure.org.
Yep. Yep. And then our third side, so I make sure I say this because sometimes you get lost, but our third, bucket, so to speak, we look at three pillars. But our third pillar is a National CURE Clergy Network.
Right.
And that's really the heart of what you came to today. That's the National Policy Summit. That's, Pew Research says it's about a third of people, especially, that are more minority skewing, that said, hey, they skew in a more traditional mindset or a value set mindset. And so we say, okay, good, let's go after them. Let's find out who these people are in the country, and let's talk to them. Let's create conversation. And so it's really important, but this is what this is. This National Policy Summit is a part of it, but we look at educate, equip, and engage clergy across this country to make a difference in their communities.
Yeah, so get the faith-based communities re-engaged in the republic. And we need that so much, because a lot of this lays at the feet of the church and how they've neglected their duties. C. Hall, and been talking to our friend Derek McCoy from CURE Center for Urban Renewal and Education.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
And we have had an amazing conference here. Kicked off that first night, just a couple of highlights. Star Parker,
right?
She's the president. That's
she's
correct.
President and founder.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
And so she spoke that first night briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And man, just gave part of her testimony and kind of laid out the vision a little bit, and it was so powerful. I listened to her, man. I thought, now I can go back and get to work, man. I'm so fired up. I'm so inspired. And that was
night one.
That was good enough for me. And that was like the first thing. And then we had Governor Blevins. From Kentucky,
oh,
which was
goodness.
Amazing.
Is that Pastor Bevins or Governor Bevins?
Yeah, man. It was unbelievable. I found my new favorite governor.
Oh, man.
And it was, and I tell you today, and there have been so many more, we had the panel and the ladies dealing with the sex trafficking issue in the communities was just unbelievably powerful. And you know what? Today was interesting when, and I forget the brother's name, from Health and Human Services.
Clarence Carter.
Clarence Carter, the director from Health and Human Services. Man, I was really encouraged because, you know, in the liberty movement and the conservative movement, there's it's really easy to bash, you know, the federal government in general.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the government is made up of individuals.
It is.
And there are some incredible individuals in there, and he's one of them. And so when I hear someone stand like that and speak the principles that he laid out, and give the vision of what they're doing, you know, which is really the opposite, I think, of what a lot of people think about. He mentions TANF and HHS, and we think of, you know, building the welfare state.
Yep.
He really spoke to the opposite vision of we're trying to, you know, work this new paradigm in such a way that gets people out of dependency and really helps people. And, man, that was really encouraging to me just to know that people like that are in there fighting and operating on the right principles, and just such a powerful, you could tell. This is a guy who has solid principles and
he believes it.
Man, it was amazing. It was so.
Yeah.
Everybody that's been on the stage has been so impressive to me. And if there's any organization that I'm going to support, it would be CURE. I mean, because it's evident that. It's not just talk. It's not just ideas. It's not just theory. But you're talking about really practical, solution-oriented action that's making an impact. And then I love how you're connecting the faith-based community and these pastors and churches and drawing them into the battle, onto the battlefield. Because really, and maybe you can speak a little bit to this, our churches have been on the sidelines.
Oh man,
you know, and for various reasons now. To give some the benefit of the doubt, which is, I think, where we're at with some of this in what we're doing, some because they just don't know. They feel in their spirit what they want to do,
right?
But they're not connected to the solutions. And so that seems to me what's going on here. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. You know, what we found, like I said before, trying to go after some folks that we knew had this feeling of something's being broke. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that things are broken down in our society.
Yeah.
That we got to fix some stuff and really understand how to do it. And we came across this passage in Isaiah, and I believe it's Isaiah 53. And it talks about in Isaiah 53, it says, not to get overly spiritual, but it just is one of these passages where you got to look at, you read, and you're like, man, this is deep, because it says you should be known as those who can fix their cities, who can fix anything, repair broken walls, and make their cities livable again.
Yeah.
And you start looking at that, you're like, is that possible in today's time? When the current president was at his inauguration, he'd have to do this, and it's not a pump for him. It's just the issue of, he addressed the issue. He said, man, some of our inner cities look like war zones.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, okay, he said something politically might be a little sketchy, but incorrect, or tough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what he did is he stuffed a steak down our mouth without chewing.
Yeah.
Because if you look around the city, I agree. There's certain places I'm not driving. There's certain places I'm not going. And so these guys are pastoring those cities. These guys are loving the people in those cities. These guys are right there in those communities and saying, you know what? We got to figure out solutions.
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things.
So, I'm sorry, Chris Ann, the professional
yes.
is not sitting here running this. I'm operating the board, so I'm sorry I ran you into the break. That was my fault.
No problem.
But we're talking about, you know, engaging the churches and connecting them with the solutions. And, you know, you were saying they're there. These guys are on the ground.
They are. They are. They're on the ground. They want to see solutions. They want to see a difference being made. And even case in point, when I started to talk about Chicago, there were people there that says, you know, I'm tired of the complaining. This stuff, some of this stuff isn't working. And so what's unique about this group here is that these guys are coming ready. They're open. They're prepared. They're like, hey, let me take notes. One guy approached me just the other day and said, hey, what I've heard so far has impacted me. I got 18 churches that I oversee. I need to figure out solutions of how to really move things forward. And I've learned that I can do more than what I'm doing and that I can do some things that are within my purview and my ability. And with the right connections and a little bit of stuff, he said, man, I could do a lot. And so he heard that, and I think he's taking that commission on. But I think that's just one story of many of just like that where people, we got to, you know, I believe in the church. I believe in the local pastor.
Yeah.
I believe that they can make a big difference, and I believe really they can change this country first by introducing people, you know, to the gospel.
Yeah.
But when lives are changed, what happens next?
Right.
Those changed lives change communities.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's how I look at it, and I know they don't want to see them suffer through government dependency and brought into a system where they can never get help, and they're always self-sufficient. They want to see people move ahead.
See, and that's what I like about the approach and what I've heard the entire conference. It's not a message to the community of saying, hey, you're a victim. Let us come save you.
Yeah.
It's no. Let me tell you what you're capable of, and let me empower you.
Right.
And to me, that, of course, is the difference between conservative, let's say, thought and, you know, the other group. It's really a message of victimhood and control and dependence. That doesn't help anybody.
No, not at all.
So somebody said, you know, you see somebody standing on the street corner and asking for change.
That was Clarence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you give them a dollar. If that situation is legitimate,
yep.
Okay, you give them a dollar, you really haven't helped them.
No, but we feel good.
We feel good, right? And that's kind of the lefty, you know,
we
do all these things and they claim to be for women and for minorities and for the environment and for animals and all this stuff. When you dig down, you realize not only are they not helping the people they claim to be for, they're actually harming them, but they all feel good about themselves.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
But you got to get to the root problem. And if that guy's standing on the street corner, you want to really help him, empower him, and teach him how to get out of that situation.
Absolutely.
And that, so I love that that's really the philosophy and vision of what you're doing. And that's really what we need.
Yeah.
And the church has to be part of that. And I love how, you know, again, same brother, so smart. He said government is transactional.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
The church is relational.
Yep.
The government's just make a transaction, you know.
Yep.
And there's no relationship. In fact, I would say if there is a relationship, they're not in the business of relationship and shouldn't be because when relationships happen, it's usually detrimental to the non-government partner in that relationship. So, but the church is in the business of relationship.
That's right.
And so we as the church are in the best position. And I would say that, you know, you can broaden that idea to the community, those in the community, church being part of that community.
Absolutely.
But you're there. You're a neighbor to your neighbor. You're in the position of making the change because you can do that through relationship. Hey, we know the gospel happens through relationship.
Come on.
I mean, if you think about it, the gospel is not necessarily transactional.
Mm-hmm.
I always... You know, I grew up in a certain group, and it was always these guys would, I left a track in the bathroom, and I laid a track on the table at the restaurant, and they felt good about themselves because it did that. Now, I understand tracks and informational things have their place, and they're a tool,
mm-hmm.
but God didn't call a track. Like, Jesus didn't say to a pamphlet, go and disciple, right, and
right.
preach the gospel. He told that to people. He told that to the church. So the gospel itself is relational. You know, we share the gospel in relationships.
It totally is. And it's, you know, think about one of the most simplest commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
How are you going to love yourself?
Which Jesus summed up. He said that's the whole word summed up.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Yep. He did. Absolutely.
And that's the essence of relationship.
It really is. And I look at it as, okay, for me, what do I want? Well, I want to be free.
Yeah.
I don't want to be dependent. I want to move forward in life as best I can. I want to be able to make the best of what I've been given and be a right steward. And, you know, and the same I want for my kids. You want for your kids. The yeah. same you want for your families.
Exactly.
And other people around you. So if you love them like you love yourself, hey, why can't we all just move forward? And I never looked at Jesus as one that says, everybody crowd around me and hang with me and just do me and just let me just, I'm going to feed you, I'm going to teach you, and I never want you to do nothing else.
Right.
The gospel would have never extended.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just be, there would be a group of maybe folks who had a conversion experience, and the rest of the world would be lost.
Yeah, he was about empowering.
Man, he was.
Said, you're going to do greater things than I've done.
Come on.
I mean, you talk about empowering,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And which that really
changed the world.
What you just said, that's why I get so aggravated, you know, when the folks come at you of this caricature of what Christianity is and want to control people and oppress people and is so mean and hateful, this and that. The heart of Christianity is what you just described.
Yeah.
I want the best. Love your neighbor. I want the best for mine. I want the best for me. You know, I'm not trying to hurt people and harm people and hate people. And so such a caricature and a lie when you hear this stuff characterizing Christianity is so false. People that don't know what they're talking about. But Christianity looks like what you're describing.
It really, yeah.
And it includes, yeah. our churches need to understand, it includes the political arena.
Well, I'll say this is my little pitch, and it's a natural progression. When we come to a knowledge of Christ, you accept him in your heart and your life, your life is changed, things start happening. Your outward process of growing and learning and becoming a better Christian
yeah.
is that we impact our society around us. We impact the world around us. That means we think about how we vote. We think about how we integrate with our school system. We think about how we do things. And so this farce and notion that we're supposed to exit ourselves from society because we've had this conversion, you're absolutely crazy. So bottom line, and that's really what we're about. We're trying to, you know, fight poverty, restore dignity, faith, freedom, personal responsibility.
Yeah.
We got, you know, they can get in touch with us at urbancure.org, urbancure.org. Our National Policy Summit, we do it on an annual basis, and we just continue to grow. And it's, like I said, it's a phenomenal thing that you get these people here. Love to have people participate with us, engage with us. Come next year.
Yeah.
Let us know. We're going to be getting stuff out.
Same time next year?
It's going to be right about the same time. We'll have that up really soon, but we normally do right around the same time, either the last week of September, first week of October, right around that same time. This first week of October, I'm doing it. Today's my anniversary. But so,
happy,
you know, I get a little bit. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I get a little bit of, you know. Not hate mail from my wife. She gave me a little happy anniversary, but she says it is our anniversary day, so I hope you're done.
By the way, I'm a big UFC fan. I close my eyes. You sound just like Daniel Cormier when I'm. That's who I hear. But man, we appreciate you being
with
us today. God bless you, and I can't wait till next year.
You got it.
So, Chris Ann, sit back down here, so I don't mess up another break. But man, I think. This has just been a fantastic event, and just a great guy, Minister McCoy, fantastic.
Derek McCoy.
Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah,
it's been really amazing, and, you know, I think it was such an example to me of how the church is supposed to engage.
Right.
And again, it's not a message of, you know, we want to force everybody to be Christians through the power of the state. You know, it's you know, using good, wholesome, sound principles to help people, to lift people.
Well, but working in extremes and hyperbole never works.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We're not trying to force people into Christianity, but don't try to force me to leave my principles and my faith aside
yeah.
when I'm trying to understand how the government is supposed to work.
I would say it like this. I'm not trying to force you into Christianity. But don't try to force me out of the public arena because of my Christianity.
Yeah, there you go. That's a really, really good way to put that. It's been a great, great event. We've met some really fantastic people in just a very, I mean, just think about this. It's like 2.5 days when you think about it. Actually, not even that, because Monday night was just simply an opening reception, right? And then Tuesday was all day teaching. And then Wednesday is just simply a half a day. So what a jam-packed kind of thing, and it really, you're going to cringe, but it actually really inspired me. I thought, why aren't we putting together something like this from a Liberty First Constitution kind of perspective?
Well, I can tell you what, you know, one of the things that was interesting and stood out, there were several, several individuals who are part of the administration, part of the government that came and spoke. And it was really, I would say encouraging, probably the word, but listen to all of them had kind of the same perspective that it was really what they described as their marching orders. In whatever department or area they were, it was tackle these regulations. Go through. I want you to dig through this thing with a fine-tooth comb, and we need to start chipping away.
Unshackle the people.
Yeah, at all these regulations, exactly, that unnecessarily binds Americans. And so it was good to hear that's the message, man. And you know, this is the funny thing. It was all of these people were either female or black Americans, some minority or female, all mm-hmm. of them that we heard from the administration. And you know,
well, CNN
with this
and
voice,
Rachel Maddow would make you think that those people
don't actually exist,
right?
Exactly.
Right.
So that was striking.
Crazy. Yeah, and the thing that struck me is something that the hypocrisy, right? So our congressmen know these regulations limit business, they shackle people, they actually hurt the economy, because every time you're turning around, they're giving a waiver to those regulations to help spur the economy or to help a business. If you have to give a waiver to something to make it work, then that's a good indication that what you're doing is broken.
Yeah,
you don't need that. If getting rid of it, if you have to get rid of it to make it work, then there's something wrong here.
Yeah, and you have this amazing organization on the other side of that in the communities trying to teach people, train people, empower people to understand you don't need to look to the government to save you and bail you out.
Yeah, and that's an important message.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, our last segment. I really hope that you enjoyed that interview, because I sure did. My husband and co-host J.C. Hall taking the lead seat for a little while. It's a little bit scary.
Yeah, and I got to give my presentation to that
yes,
audience.
Yes, that was awesome.
A large audience of ministers in the black churches.
Right. And they were so excited by that presentation. Yeah. The presentation is More Than Victims, the American Black Heritage. And you can get the presentation right now at libertyfirstuniversity.com. Members of libertyfirstuniversity.com can have access to that right now. We're going to be putting it on DVD so you can get the DVD. But it is powerful. And I was so looking forward to this day, JC, because I know it's powerful, but some people say I'm biased, right? Because, you know, I love you. But watching the crowd get excited, it was amazing, because you couldn't hear what was going on. You were on the stage, and I had these two pastors behind me. They were just chit-chit-chit-chit-chit the whole time you were there, and you kept saying, you know, I don't want to keep you long. They're like, no, brother, keep on. This is a good stuff. And you said, well, I'm going to close. And I was like, no, you're not done.
I heard
take
one
it to
say,
the
no,
end.
No.
Take it to the end. And
I said, I'm going to close. And there was a lady sitting in front said, no, keep going.
Yeah, so I think that just proves that America is hungry for the history that's been stolen from them. They're hungry for truth. They realize, and see, this is the most amazing thing. It's like the AA 12-step program.
Yep.
You have to know there's a problem before you can get to the solutions.
Right.
And the American people are beginning to really realize the depth of the educational problem here in America. You know, can I just, I want to say a thank you to our friend Victor on air for making this possible for us. You know, we talked yesterday about a the other day in a show about businessmen investing in the Liberty economy.
Yeah.
And because of businessmen like Victor who know that the return on investment to Liberty is so much more than what you can measure by the Dow Jones, because of people like that, we are able to do what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And you don't know this, and I'm going to tell everybody this right now. You remember we called out a couple times in the last couple shows looking for sponsors for the Oklahoma trip.
Mm-hmm.
We have, praise God, we have one Liberty businessman who has stepped up in Oklahoma and said, I will cover all the expenses.
Wow. Amen.
Is that not awesome?
That's a blessing.
Janet just texted me and told me that we have a sponsor that's going to cover. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. Make the investment that pays out more. Because remember, even if you get a return on investment, you still have to pay the government for that.
You know,
this is an investment that will actually shrink government and not take your money in taxation.
Well, and here's the thing. I understand the concept of return on investment. You know, if you have, as a general rule, you got to have return on investment. Otherwise, sooner or later, you don't have anything to invest. I get those principles. What we're talking about is budgeting some portion, you know, of that return.
Yes.
To Liberty, to that which will sustain the system that enables you to
have prosperity.
Exactly.
Because in a socialist economy that we're driving for, there is no prosperity in the people. The only prosperity that comes from a socialist economy is the prosperity of the government and those who are... Yeah, right. Through theft. It is liberty that brings true prosperity. And so we're very, very excited to be able to be a part of that. And we are so thankful. I mean, JC sitting here, I'm literally tears because of the generosity of people that make this possible. And I want to thank everybody who keeps praying for us. I think one of the greatest things about this CURE conference that we've been into is it's really increased my faith in knowing that there are Christians out there who are liberty-minded.
Man, there is
praying and worshiping and bringing about a new kingdom reality.
Here's what I took away. There's a liberty army being built out there, and you're not going to stop it. It's coming.
You cannot stop the revolution. Hey, Abigail Adams said, the flame of liberty has been ignited. Now sit back and watch as it spreads from soul to soul. God bless you guys. We will see you tomorrow.
Let me know.